But going back to the root cause of things, you know, we have things that go great in our life. And there are some things that we just seem to always have good fruit in this area. Or we, you know, we always have blessing come in this way. We always have something working for us in this manner. And it's just common. We've gotten so common to it that it doesn't surprise us when it's happened. We're thankful for it, but it just always produces in this area of our life. And then there's areas of our life that, you know, we're not doing so good in. Oh, okay, just two of us. All right. Just the two of us. The rest of y'all are doing quite well. All right. And in my own life, the reason I got into this was because I looked at my own life. I sit down and look over my life and decide, you know, this area of my life is doing well. Why is it doing well? What am I doing that's causing this part of my life to do well? And then can I take some kind of formula out of this area and apply it over here where, you know, I'm just not producing so well?
Oh, yeah.
Hello? I'll give you a great example of this. When I first got married, I've never been married before. Yeah, I've never been married before. First time I got married, right? And so when I got married, I did what I knew to do. My parents were a great example to some degree to me, but they were in the South. And, you know, rules in the South are a little different than the rules in the North. Hey, I'm going to tell you a joke about that. Are you ready? There's a Southern boy who came up to Wisconsin and married a girl right out of Sheboygan, right? And, yep, right out of Sheboygan. And when he got married, he decided he was going to run his household like his daddy ran his household from the backwoods of Georgia, right? And so, you know, after the honeymoon, everything went well. He came in from work, and he asked his wife, he said, "Where's dinner, honey?" And she said, "Well, I don't know where dinner is." And he said, "Well, you know, I'm going to fix this." He said, "Well, get in that kitchen and make me some dinner." And, you know, his best friend asked him after he was telling this story, his best friend said, you know, did you see any difference in her, you know, attitude or change the first day? No, he said, I didn't see anything. But the third day, you know, the second day I didn't see anything either. But the third day I began to be able to open my left eye a little bit. Oh, Lord. And so, you know, there's just culture difference in some areas that, you know, you can't bring that up. And so I knew, and can I tell you this? I love it, too. When I first got married, Jessie told me she wanted to be, she's like, "Look, you're not marrying some little Miss Southern Belle Betty Crocker here. I want you to understand that before you jump in." And I told her, I said, "Baby, I know what I'm getting myself into." I also love this, too. I'll just tell this little part. I haven't asked about this, but this is funny. She said, before we got married, she said, "Do you think I'm high maintenance?" And I just laughed. I said, "Yes, baby, you're very much high maintenance." And she said, "You really think I'm high maintenance?" I said, "I don't think I know you're high maintenance. I know you're, it takes a lot to get you to where you need to be and to flourish. You know, there's some things and some plants you plant that it takes a lot of your attention, but it's well worth it. It is well worth it." And so, but I would just recommend two high maintenance people not marry each other. Because if you put two high maintenance plants side by side, the chances one's gonna die. And I know in our relationship who it's gonna be. If I go missing, Jesse is the one who did it. Y'all go back to this podcast to prove it in court. So anyway, you know, there's some areas in my life. So I got married and I took our marriage about as far as I could. I didn't have any more information on the inside of me to make it better. So you know what I had to do? I actually started reading marriage books, one marriage book a month. I just made a declaration on the inside. So for over 2 years, I read a marriage book, one every month, for 2 years straight. Now, I can tell you some of the things I learned in there did not work at all. Didn't work at all. Some of them backfired. Some of them didn't work at all. Oh, I'll tell you something else. When she was pregnant, I didn't know what to do. Dear Lord Jesus, first time I ever had a pregnant woman in my life that was mine, you know? And we were married, by the way. I just want to clear that up really quick. Sounds like we might not have been married. We were married at the time. And so I read a book, and they told me, get these bulbs, right, of this certain kind of flower, put them in a pot, raise them up, and then they'll bloom, and they smell so pretty. So I did that. I did that. And Jesse walks in the house one day, and I kept it hid until it bloomed, right? And it bloomed, and Jesse walked in the house. She said, because she already smells better than a coon dog. I mean, her sense of smell is amazing. And so she walked in the house, and she says, oh, my God, what is this smell? And I'm like, what are you talking about? She says, it smells like just a bunch of flowers. Oh, my God, it's so strong. It was one plant. It was one. And it didn't take a day to grow those things. It took a while. And I had to hide this from her until it was ready to bring it out. And she told me, get that out of it. So I just picked it up, took it outside, threw it in the garbage. They're like, oh, I know, single tear, single tear. Be like, all my work, all that time went down the drain. So I'm just telling you, some of it won't work, but you got to figure out what will work for you and yours, right? So I ran out of information. I ran out of knowledge that I had. So I began to seek knowledge to get a root on the inside of me that would cause my marriage to be stronger than my parents, cause my marriage to be stronger than the average marriage in America, cause my marriage to be stronger than the average Christian marriage in America. I wanted my roots to go deep so that when we could stand the times of drought in our life. Can I tell you something else? As a daddy, I went as far as I could. So you know what I had to do? I had to start seeking something that would cause roots to go down deeper. I had to become a better daddy, and I knew that on the inside of me. I knew once my girl got a certain age, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea what I'm doing here. Girl can't even hit a ball yet, so I don't even know how to play with her. I don't even know how to play with this child. What do we do? We didn't have to. I had two sisters, but we didn't play tea party. They were tomboys. We climbed trees and jumped out of things and pretended to shoot each other and played church. These were the things we did, and now I got a little girl who's fritzy and wants to play all these girly games and doll, and she like gives me a Barbie, and I'm like, I don't know what to do with this. Bounce it around a little bit, you know. I mean, like, I don't have no idea what to do. So what do? You have to get more information on the inside of you. You got to figure out what causes some areas of your life to be rooted and grounded and other areas to seem like no fruit's coming from it. So you've got to figure out what is the root cause and begin to change and apply what is blessing your life, apply it to other areas of your life. Hallelujah. And can I tell you this? We are in a day and an age where information is amazing. We have information everywhere. There's no excuse not to have this information. Your library, we got one of the best library systems in America. You don't have the book at your library, they will ship it to you. They will bring it in. Books on tape. I don't like to read. Books on tape. Well, not tape anymore. CDs and MP3 players. You know, they have all this there for you. Get information. Find out what God's Word has on this subject and get information on the inside of you so that roots can go deep. Because I'm going to tell you something. Everything may be great right now, but in some areas of our life, we will deal with famines. We will deal with a dry season. And if you're not rooted and grounded in love, if you're not rooted and grounded in God, you will begin to show of the famine. Yes. And in this world, I'm going to tell you something, it will deal with famines. That's right. This world will deal with famines. Yes. And they're going to be looking for where the plant is that's producing.
Amen.
And where it is, they will run to.
Right.
We have got to be the church that has fruit in our life.
Amen.
And if we don't have fruit in our life, we've got to figure out why. And we've got to begin to start pruning, and we've got to begin to start taking care of the areas of our life that need attention from the Lord. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So this morning, I'm going to read a couple scriptures to you. You can turn with me to 2 Kings, but I'm going to read about three scriptures for you before we get there. Proverbs 12:3 says, a man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. The root of the righteous shall not be moved. You know, this world would go right and left on many subjects throughout our history. And we'll swing right to some areas and then we'll swing left. And it's a teeter-totter. Even politics, they say about every 16 years, we have a major switch in politics. And And it's interesting, it's not rare, it happens, but it's not very long that the president and, you know, we'll have that party in power as president, and then also that party in power in the House and the Senate. It's not rare, it happens, but it normally doesn't stay long. And then if you watch politics, then you'll normally have one president, one party, and then the House and the Senate of another party. And it just keeps switching. It keeps switching back. And so what what is politically correct will change. In 5 years, I don't even think it's going to take 5 years for what politically correct to change. It'll be year, like 1 year, sometimes 6 months. Whatever's politically correct, it can change at a whim. And so that's why we must be rooted and grounded in God's Word so that we do not change. Our stances do not change. Our subjects do not change. The way we live does not change. Our moral fiber does not change because our roots are not in this world's system. Our roots are in the Word of God. And the Word of God does not change. God's Word does not change. So we can live a life that does not change. And when the world doesn't know what the answer is, the church can stand strong. And so the root of the righteous shall not be moved. And then verse 12 in 12:12 says, the wicked desires the net of the evil man, but the root of the righteous, the root of the righteous yields fruit. So not only should we be rooted in God, or grounded in God's Word, but fruit should be produced in our life. You're not there just to look pretty in the house of God.
That's right.
I know, it's a terrible shame. I went to some churches that, you know, you could, if you didn't get on the front seat, you couldn't see because all those big old hats, peacocking and feathers and all this good stuff. Nothing wrong with getting dressed up for the kingdom of God and coming to church. I'm fine with that. But, you know, there better be more fruit than just the way we look. And there better be more fruit than just the way we sound. There actually better be fruit that can help other people. There better be fruit that people can see. There better be works in our life. Are we saved by works? Absolutely not. But works accompany knowing Jesus. You can't help but works to follow you once you come into the kingdom of God. Because your life has changed. Your thought process is beginning to change. Everything about you is changing into the image of God. And can I tell you, sometimes it's a little painful. Because there's some pruning that goes on. Have you ever been cut? It ain't always fun. Actually, I'm trying to think if I've ever got cut that it was fun. Nothing's coming to mind. But there, you know, there's some pruning, some cutting off, some shearing, some letting go of some things that will cause you to run your race faster. If there is some shedding of things that will cause you to run faster, there's some things that if you put on will cause you to run slower. If there's some things we hold on to our life that the Lord is trying to get us to let go, He's not trying to get us to let go of it because it will cause us to not, you know, expand or not like get rid of some fun and some entertainment we have in our life. I remember one person told me, he said, Pastor, that they came in not knowing anything, and they said, this is the most painful thing I've ever done. All my friends, everything, all the entertainment, all I have known is this way. And everything I did for fun, I still want to do. Everything in me still wants to do it. And it's painful. And they even told me, I don't have any friends right now. I don't have any friends right now. And this is solitude and this is pain. But can I tell you something? God's not wanting you to experience pain. He wants you to experience freedom.
Yes. Amen.
And you're never going to be able to run without trimming some things off. Without getting rid of some things in your life. Can I tell you something? Just like your home. It's amazing to me. Wallets, purses, it doesn't matter. We have a tendency to fill it. That is why I have learned to carry a wallet that is this thin. You want to know why? Because it is already filled. When I had a bigger wallet, receipts and everything went in it, and honestly started making my back hurt because my hip was like this when I'm sitting. When we get a home, we fill it. We fill it full of stuff. Can I tell you something? When we got a home, we didn't have enough furniture to go in the bedrooms. You know what we did? We got enough and then some. And then you keep collecting stuff. And for me, I am happy with the same crud for all my life. I don't need new stuff coming in. If it ain't broke, it can even be a little ratty, and I'm all right with it. Jesse, we just had a towel, and she looked at it, and she said, this towel needs to go. I'm like, why does that towel need to go? Well, there's some strings hanging off. Well, that's what scissors are made for. Let's just trim this thing and put it back up. we'll give the guests the good towels and we'll use the crappy towels. And she's like, no, we're getting new towels. I would have been happy with the same old towels with holes in it. It could have a hole in it. That's just so that you know if it's completely wet or not. You can reach through, touch the other side. But apparently, Jesse doesn't live that way, right? And so the thing is that sometimes we'll buy new and keep the old. Because we can't let go of old things. It's just in our life to stock it and store it, even though we haven't used it for years. I've looked in my closet, even this morning, looking to get ready. And I know there's a shirt in there that I haven't worn in 2 or 3 years, but I really like it. And I haven't worn it in 3. Can I tell you this? I remember, Jesse wanted to get rid of a hat. Now, when I bought this hat, it was red. Now, it's a deep wine color. It is a deep wine. And I even remember Miss Ripshin asked me, when's the last time you washed it? I said, none of your business. It's got rips in it, not because it was made that way. I put them there. Not on purpose. It just came from wearing it for long periods of time. And Jesse said, get rid of this hat. I said, baby, I can't get rid of this hat. She said, why can't you get rid of this hat? Tori said, I bought that hat when I was 13. This hat has been with me longer than it has been without me. I have lived with this hat longer than I've lived without it. I want my hat. It's the hat I put on when I go under the truck. It's the hat I put on when I cut the grass. It's the hat that gets dirty work with me. It gets down and dirty with me. I love this hat. And so there's times in our life that we hold on to things not because they really service us. Now that hat serves me. Don't you ever think it doesn't. But that shirt does not serve me at all. Honest to God, I don't even want to put it on because it might be a little tight. Some of you said you wanted to see more of me, so I gained weight. This is what happens when I have extra sleep on Sunday. This is what happens. And so there's some stuff I need to get rid of. I need to get rid of it. But there's something in me that wants to hold on to it. And it's something so simple. Something so simple that can be replaced, it means really nothing. That shirt that I like don't mean anything to me. Nothing special happened when I was wearing it. I just like it and don't know why. I'm going to get rid of it. I just want y'all to know. I've come to the conclusion that I'm going to get rid of it. It's really ratty. It was black. Now it's charcoal. But there's things in our life we got to let go of. There's some things we got to prune off. There's some things some places we need to even just stop going, period. Yeah. Some friends, we need to, we can't, they drain us. They suck everything out of us. They deplete us of all our nutrients. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not saying you can't talk with them, not saying whatever, but they can't be in your inner circle. There's some people God will say no to. And we need to listen and obey that. Amen. Because the roots of the righteous will produce fruit. And if we're not producing fruit, we need to look over our life and say, why is fruit not producing here? Right. Now, last week I talked about, the last 2 weeks I talked about bitter roots. And if you haven't listened to that, get online and listen to that. They're online. I'm going to tell you, I've personally listened to it more than once myself just because it's a word I needed to hear. Yes. I'm preaching it to you, but it's a word I needed to hear. And it blessed my heart, and so I hope it does yours too. But this morning we're going to talk about better roots. Not bitter roots, but better roots. Have you ever got, now this is what I love. Miss Hahn, where I heard you laugh, there you are. Okay, you just blended in over here. Now what, you've done stuff with plants. What is your like training? What would I call it?
Agronomy and horticulture.
Say the first one again. I got the last one.
Agronomy.
I didn't even know that was a word. Did you just make that up to look important? Anybody else heard the word agronomy before? Okay, no, there's a couple of you.
First grade,
whatever. Let's move on. Agronomy and horticulture. Okay, so Mrs. Hahn here has helped me out a lot when it comes to planning for our house. And what I love, too, is we needed some things to plant. And she just chopped them up from her house or her garden and brought them over. And I transplanted them in my yard. Can I tell you the first year, I don't know what those leafy things are that spring up and... Yeah, they're plants, and they produce these purple flowers. What is? Oh, don't act like y'all all know planting. Don't act like y'all know all this stuff. The hostas, right? They looked sad. When we cut them up, we planted them, they looked really sad. They didn't look like they were making it, and I watered, and I put nutrients down, and I don't even know the name of it, but, you know, you mix it with the water you pour on, and I did it every week, and that thing didn't look like it was doing anything. It actually looked like it was just barely holding on. You know, it's just like, oh, Jesus, if I could just make it to the weekend, if I could just make it to the weekend, make it to payday, Lord, make it to payday. Some of us Christians, we look like those hostas that came in because we were transplanted out of the world and we were transplanted in God. In some of our ways, we needed all the nutrients we could get, but we wasn't rooted and grounded like we ought to have been to produce the kind of fruit. Can I tell you something? The next year, those things popped up, took over, and looked healthy. You wouldn't even recognize them. They actually just spread it out and took over. And then I'm trying to think what it was you gave me, something that hangs over. I don't know, none of you, I don't want to even try to get the name because other people get it before I do. And I don't know what these things are. I have no idea. But she told me she had a Ziploc bag full, no roots, no roots whatsoever. She said, just cut the tips off, you know, where if it's brown, cut it all the way up till it looks healthy, and then plant that in the ground, and it will grow over your garden. I'm like, okay, you know what you're doing. So I got and spent some time put out there, watered them, and hung on to them, and they are taking root. They are taking root. You know, there are things in our life that if we just get in the body, go to life group, and hang out with people that are producing what we want in our lives, we just hang out with them, they'll transplant some stuff in our life. Some things are taught, but some things are caught. You know, I love that. What's that dog whisperer? I don't know his name. Caesar. I love Caesar. I don't watch his shows because I don't have cable. But I love Caesar. When I'm traveling, if Caesar's on, I watch him. Because he had a dog, the first show I ever watched, he had a dog that would chew rocks. And he told the owner, if you'll just give me this dog for a weekend, I'll have this dog stop chewing rocks by the time I get him back to you. In a solid week, right? And so the dog came back and he quit chewing rocks. And the owner was so amazed. He says, how did you do it? I tried everything. Getting on to the dog, getting some rocks, putting some hot sauce on it, putting it down. I tried everything. How did you get the dog to stop chewing on rocks? He said, well, I put him in a pack. And then the dog would begin to chew a rock, and the other dogs would look at him weird. And then he would drop the rock. And he did that a couple times till he learned a behavior to stop chewing rocks. Some things are taught, but some things are caught. And in the body of Christ, there are some things we learn by God's word, but we need to get around seasoned Christians and hang out with them that we can see how they act in life, how their marriages run, how they run businesses, how they work at their workplace. Talk with them how they hang out on weekends, what they do different than we used to do before we were rooted and grounded, transplanted into the kingdom of God. We have got to have better roots. In the body of Christ, we have to have better roots. Now, better roots must be planted. They've got to be planted. I don't need to be planted anywhere. Yes, you do. If you want to thrive, you need to be planted somewhere. And let me tell you, we need to ask God, and I believe most of the members of our church and people who consider our church their home have asked the Lord where they're supposed to be. And they get rooted and planted here. Wherever you're supposed to be, get rooted and planted.
That's right.
Put down some roots. You know, if you got a, I remember I had a plant growing in the yard. And it kept springing in through my grass. And I kept pulling it up. But it kept springing up. So I told y'all, I got that little handy dandy thing that pulls up roots that I love. Put it down there, popped it up. A whole acorn, a whole walnut came out. Black walnut came out. With it. And that's my problem, is I was pulling the top of it. But that walnut, the roots stayed in there. And it kept making my pretty lawn look a little ridiculous because of this one stinking plant. But I dug it up. Now, I've got a question for you. If that plant, if I wanted it to plant, if I dig it up this week, plant, and I don't like it here, put it over here, and no, I don't like it here, put it over here. If you keep digging something up and keep placing it in different places, it's not going to produce like it should. It will not, it'll look like those hostas I had. It will look sad. Why? Because it hasn't had time to put down some deep roots. And can I tell you something? If the plant doesn't have deep roots in this cold weather, it'll kill it. it will kill it dead. I told y'all I had those two plants in my yard, those bushes that the homeowner before us put in. They never took it out of the container and planted it with the container. That thing lasted two winters, and the second winter killed it completely. The first winter about did it, but the second winter did it completely. And I thought, man, this is going to be hard to get up with those roots down there. And just pulled on a little, came right up, because the roots never had a chance to go deep. And without deep roots, with deep roots, that plant would have still been there. It would be thriving today. But there's a problem, that, and it can be for several reasons. Maybe, you know, somebody was hurt in church, so they don't want to get, you know, they've been hurt too many times. So once they get to a familiar area, oh, I don't want to be hurt, so I'm going to move. Or maybe it's just, I got to keep bouncing from church to church, whoever has it at the moment. Mm-hmm. You know, the Spirit of God was moving here fine one day, but you know what? Church down the road now. That's where it is. That's where it is. How about get rooted and grounded where God called you to be? And there's going to be plenty of movements in your church and different ways of going and different experiences. And how about getting rooted and grounded and grow where God has called you to be? I'm not saying God's going to never tell you to go somewhere else or move you to another city. But where He plants you, get rooted and grounded.
Amen.
Now, I want to. Did y'all find 2 Kings where I told y'all to go?
Yep.
2 Kings 19 and 30 says this. And the remnant that is escaped from the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. I'm going to tell you something. This was a group of people that did the wrong thing. They did the wrong thing, and they were suffering because of it, and another kingdom was coming in. Oh, I'll tell you what happened. The king, Israel, over Israel at the time, there was a group of people who were going to come in and take them over. And he was not living quite like he should. And so, you know what he said? And he recognized they were going to take him over. So he went out to the enemy. He sent out to the enemy, says, we'll pay whatever you want us to pay. We'll give you whatever you want to give us, give you. Just leave us alone. And the enemy said, all right. We want so much silver and so much gold. Now, I did the math and I don't have it written down, but in today's market, it would have been about $7 or $8 billion. To pay. Israel paid it. The problem was, where do you think it came from? Oh, y'all got it. See, my first thought process was, he taxed the people to death. But that's not where it came from. And my second thought was, you know, but I'm thinking in American economy, you know, what do? We tax the people. And then once we did that enough, we'll mortgage our future for our children. So, you know, that's how it seems our government. So I'm thinking in those terms. But no, he went to the temple of God. And he stripped out all the gold, all what the people paid in tithe and offering, he took it all. But not only did he take it all, he took the gold out. He took the symbols out. He actually even took gold doors down and gave it to the enemy. Can I tell you something? When you buy a bully off, ain't nothing for him to keep his word. He knows he already has you, and Israel later figured that out. But we're talking about a place that they've done something wrong. They actually didn't even steal from each other. They stole from God. They stole from the Lord. And it says right here that they yet again shall be planted and take down root and bear fruit upward. I'm going to tell you something. You may be experienced in your life where you have had a problem. Maybe you've done something wrong. Maybe something wrong has been done with to you. What can I tell you? Plant your roots again. Plant your roots again. Good roots must be planted. I've been failing in this area for so long, Pastor. I don't know how to live in blessing. Plant again. Plant. I've done it 50 times. Plant again. I've just had so much trouble. Plant again. I've been hurt. Plant again. Plant again. So roots can be taken downwards and fruit can go upwards. Look at your neighbor and say, roots downward, fruit upwards. In other words, where you have bad fruit, take root again. Wherever there's bad fruit in your life, take root again. You might say, Pastor, I'm so disappointed. Look, you're not dead. Don't give up.
That's right.
You're not dead. Keep going. Keep pressing forward. So, better roots must be planted. Better roots, number two, better roots must be watered. When I was telling you about that plant Linda gave me, you cut it, you got to water it. And when it has no roots, you got to water it every day. Can't just water it once. You've got to water it every day. You've got to stay on that plant. Can I tell you something? In your faith, you may have faith that you don't really have to water a whole lot. Maybe it's that God's going to protect me. I know God's going to protect me. And you just water that every once in a while with God's Word, going over God's Word on the inside of you. But then there may be something that you've never used God's Word for, and you got to quote it all the time. Maybe it's a thought life process. Maybe you've been in fear, and you've got to say to yourself, the love of God cast out all fear. And then fear grips you throughout the day. And you say, no. I have trust. I trust the Lord. And He says, when I trust Him, that my love for Him and His love for me will cast out all fear. Why will it cast out fear? Because the Lord that placed me here is the Lord that will keep me here. The Lord that called me here is the Lord that will keep me here. My feet are planted upon the solid rock, which is Jesus. And even though the gates of hell may try to prevail against me, it will not work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And you might have to say that 100 times a day. Why? Because you don't have any roots in that area. And you have planted, and now you are watering. And the first year it may look a little weak. But you keep watering, and you keep planting, and you keep yourself in that place, and you'll be able to look back and say, my Lord, look what has taken root. Look what has taken root. So we must water, we must plant, and then second, we must water. Revelations 12 and 15 says this, and then the serpent we know is the devil, the defeated one, cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. Now the woman represents the church. You may say, Pastor, how does the woman represent the church? Well, we're the bride of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. And so the woman represents the church. Now, so a flood out of the devil's mouth, the defeated one's mouth, came after the church, the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. Are we not in that day right now? Where the enemy is speaking through media, politicians, throughout the world, trying to wash the church away. And it seems like those who take stance that oppose God will jump on the bandwagon with anyone who criticizes the church. There's this whole coexist. No, they don't mean coexist. They mean church, shut up, and everybody else say what they want. Church, don't you take any stances. We've had enough of your junk. You've been around for 2,000 years. Shut your mouth. They want us to be quiet. And they want everybody else to do whatever they want to do and say whatever they want to say. And they'll call, I'm about to get on a little bit of a soapbox for a moment, but they'll call religions that justify beheading of those who disagree with them, subjects of homosexuality, adultery. They'll behead and stone those people. But the people who oppose the church will stand up and say, religion of peace. Malarkey. That's bull. The church is the church. I'm not saying the church has done it perfect. The church has been in the wrong place and done the wrong thing in wrong times. But the key is the church must repent and get up again and plant again. And the church of love is what we should be, what we are, what we strive after. And so the enemy is speaking floods against us. And not only will he do it that way, but he'll try personally to speak floods against you. You're not enough. You don't have what it takes. That's not real. You've tried. You've planted. You've watered. You've done all this, and you have failed every time. What makes you think this will be different? What makes you think, who are you? You know you. You know exactly how you are. Don't do anything. You're such a hypocrite for even trying. Look at you, standing up, proclaiming what is right. How many times have you failed? The enemy will try to flood you, will try to flood you with words, to sweep the church away, to cause the church to be weak, to cause the church not to stand, to cause the church not to influence the world as we're called to. We're called to influence this world. We're called to change this world. We're called to shine the light of Jesus Christ. A city on the hill can't hide in the darkness, no more than a candlelight in a dark home. And we are meant to be the light to the world.
Amen. Amen.
So look at your neighbor and say, keep on planting.
Keep on planting.
Can I tell you something too? Those plants I put down, not all of them made it. but a majority of them did. And you know what I did? I went back to those places that didn't make it, and I pulled them out, and I planted again. And you keep doing that. And you keep doing that. I remember we planted some spearmint. I love spearmint. But spearmint will take over. Spearmint will take over. I would like to contribute spearmint to the way Christians should be. Spearmint will come. I planted some spearmint and some strawberries. Can I tell you those strawberries no longer exist? You want to know why? Because the spearmint came over and said, oh, we're going to take all that. We're going to take all your nutrients. We're going to take all your sunlight. You will not survive. And I'm going to tell you something. When the enemy comes in, speaks like this to us, tells us, be like, let me tell you something, enemy. I'm not only going to plant again, but I'm going to make a purpose that I'm going to overshadow what you're saying to me. I'm going to overshadow what you're doing. I'm going to suck all the nutrients out of your words. I'm not going to give you any water to drink. I'm going to make sure that you are dry mouth, toothless little nothing that can't handle anything, because I am more than a conqueror, not because of who I am. Yes, I have made mistakes. Yes, I have missed the mark. But greater is He that is in me. The love of God that God has for me will cause me to triumph. I can't even lose because I keep winning in Christ. Even when I miss it, God has me covered. So, devil, you want to play this game? I'm going to witness to somebody that I normally wouldn't witness to because you messed with me. And you mess with me, I'm going to mess with your kingdom. You mess with my house, I'm going to mess with your house.
That's good.
So, I'm going to testify to somebody I normally wouldn't testify to. Lord, lead me to the right person. And start hitting the enemy where it hurts him. Like, touch my house again. Oh! Speak in my head. Whisper in my ears one more time. Let's see how well that goes for you, Satan. Now, better roots must be planted. Better roots must be watered. Number three, better roots must be fertilized. Luke 13 and 6 says, "And he spake also this parable, a certain man that had a fig tree planted in the vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereof, and found none. And then he said unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbersome it the ground?" In other words, why let it take resources from the earth? This plant hasn't produced in 3 years. Why let it continue to take good soil away? And verse 8, "And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it," fertilize it. Right? "Fertilize it," in verse 9, "and it bears fruit well, and if not, after that, thou shalt cut it down." So let me just break it down for you. The owner of the property comes and says, "Look, this tree, 3 years, I keep coming to it. It's got leaves. It should be producing. 3 years, I come to this tree, and it has nothing. Cut it down, get rid of it. It's a waste of space. It's not doing what it should." And the person that took care of the land said, I'll tell you what. Give me one more year with this tree. I'm going to dig around it. I'm going to get all the roots. I'm going to get all the thorns and the thistles and all the other plants that are around it that are sucking nutrients from the ground. I'm going to get rid of it all. And I'm going to get down to the root system. I'm going to dig underneath to the root system, and I'm going to dung it. I'm going to fertilize it. Now, some of us in our life right now may be able to say, let's just be honest, you know what fertilizer is. You can use your own words. But fertilizer, some of us is dealing with a lot of fertilizer right now. And y'all, living in Wisconsin, if you grew up here, you know what fertilizer is, because every fall and every spring, you smell it. There's a reason they call it the dairy air. It is dairy spreading that nasty air. Okay. There's a restaurant that I never want to go to in time of fertilizing, and it is Sprecher's. Okay, Sprecher's has one amazing root beer, right? And they have a beautiful patio in the best times, spring and fall, to sit on the patio. But that's also when there's fertilizer. There is a cornfield right beside it. And I was eating my food, and the farmer decided at dinner time to start spraying the field. And the wind was whipping. I'm like, I'm done. I am done. That's terrible. Smells bad, looks bad. I want to keep my mouth closed. I don't want to eat anything right now. Can I tell you this? That fertilizer, it'll cause the roots to go deep. It'll cause nutrients, and it'll cause everything to look beautiful. It'll cause everything. You've heard, like, my daddy, when he had the best rose bushes in all our community. You want to know what he did? He would dig down. Not just a little. He would dig way down, further than you had to. And then he would get a carp. He would go fishing to catch carp. Do you know how to prepare a carp good to eat? I'll tell you, simple. I got to be fast on it. To prepare a carp good to eat, you get a 2x4. You cut it the same size. You put a nail right behind its gills and right on its tail. You cook that thing for 5 hours for 375 degrees, seasoned really well. Whatever you season you like on your fish. You cook it for 5 hours. You take it out of the oven. You pull the nails off. You throw the carp out the window and eat the board. Yeah. Carp is a trash fish, right? So my daddy would go to catch carp so that he would plant that. He would plant that right down in the bottom of the hole. Then he would go and get either from dogs or horse fertilizer. We'll just use it that way. And then fill the hole all the way up. And he would spray it down until it was this nasty mush, right? And if he had any panfish, he would throw right on top of that. And then he would plant the rose bush right on top of that and then cover it up. Cover it up. You want to know why? Because those roots will go down to the nutrients. To what will cause it to be great and strong. So what is fertilizer? First of all, what is watering? Let's go back to that. What is watering? God's Word. Put God's Word on it. First of all, God's Word is a seed, but if you're going to water it, you keep speaking over those seeds. You keep confessing the Word of God over those seeds. You keep in the Word of God on the inside of you. You keep applying the Word of God to the seed that is already planted. The second thing, fertilizer is hard times in this world. Because when you got hard times in this world, it's going to cause you to do one or two things. You're either going to go closer to the Lord or you're going to go further away from Him. Either I've got to sell out to this. I've got to give everything. I call out to the Lord. Then the people, the children of Israel, in their hard times, they would cry out to the Lord. Once they've had enough of trying to fix it themselves, once they've had enough of trying to do everything they knew to do, they would cry out to the Lord.
Yes.
So fertilizer is crying out to the Lord. One way we could say this is prayer. We need to have a prayer life. And hard times are not, the enemy may try to give you hard times. And hard times may be also just environment. It could be the economy that you had nothing to do with. That people with higher power than you and higher rank than you, have made decisions that have turned out bad for our nation.
Right.
And you're suffering because of it. You're feeling the effects because of it. Mm-hmm. And so there's hard times. And in those hard times, we cry out to the Lord. Mm-hmm. We have a prayer life. Can I tell you this? Your prayer life should be established before the fertilizer ever gets there. Mm-hmm. Before hard times ever hit you, prayer should be a part of your life. Some of you may say, I don't have a whole lot of time to pray. You don't need a whole lot of time to pray. But pray God's Word. What do I pray? Pray God's Word. And I've already talked about this. You know, there's a lot of things out there. There's podcasts, other ministers out there. It doesn't offend or bother me. You listen to other ministers, I'd recommend it. I listen to other ministers. I have a list of them that I listen to. I listen to my pastor every week. And then I listen to other ministers every week. Because they bless me and they build me up in areas that I need. And so get the Word on the inside of you. Listen to other ministers. Listen. Get books that don't even need to be Christian. They just need to be on the subject that you need. Maybe you're struggling in finances. Get financial books. Get them. Learn. Learn how to write a budget. Learn how to say, no. Can't do this right now. Put it on a wish list. Amazon will even let you create wish lists. And then they'll email you when it goes on sale. I've stole this from Bob Fritz, but it's so true because Jesse would tell me, this on sale. And I'm like, baby, we could go broke on good deals. Macy's going to have a sale every year, honey, at this time. Almost every season because they need to get rid of the junk that they have. And so this is it. Get information on the inside of you. Get God's Word on the inside of you. Plant again. Keep on planting. I haven't seen results. Well, keep on planting. Number two, water it. Get in God's Word. Water it. Find other sources of information. Find good books on the subject. Water God's Word on the inside of you.
Right.
And number three, fertilize it. Cry out to God. Pray God's Word back to Him. Find God's Scriptures. If it feels like you're not going to make it, I thank You, God, that I will be a conqueror. I'll be the head and not the tail. I thank You, Lord, that You make me this way.
Yeah.
If it feels like you're going to be defeated, I will not give up. I will keep pressing forward. Father, You are not a man that You should lie. If You said it, it will be so. I thank You, Lord, that this is what Your Word says, and it will be established. And if you don't know what to pray, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in His Word. Pray in His Spirit. He gave you the Holy Spirit. It's more important for you that I go, that I send you the Comforter.
That's right.
It's more important.
Amen.
So, saying all of that, we need to plant, we need to water, we need to fertilize.
Amen.
This is what we do.
Amen.
This is how we will overcome. This is how we will get better roots. This is how we will walk it out. This is how we will be victorious, because we have roots producing. Roots going down, fruit going up. That is how this works. We go deeper in God's Word.
Yeah.
And as we go deeper in His Word, fruit will go up.
Right.
People can't always see the roots, but they will see the fruit.
Yes. Amen.
Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You. I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for Your promise.